Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter at podcastrotr. That's podcastrotr.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. Hey Grizz!
What?
What's that in the sky? Is it a Plunder Pine?
No.
Is it a Plunder Man?
No, I don't think so.
It's a Plunder Man! I'm Alan!
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of Robots, just becoming Robot Wars, Series 4, Episode L. And I forgot what I was going to say.
Ah.
So, okay. Yes, this episode, after last week, this was a nice refresher.
I was about to say when you said episode L, he was like, no, you're right. But
so, I love this episode.
Okay.
It was just it wasn't just that I just watched episode K and it was 3 in the morning and I was annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
This actually worked. Also helped, I watched this at 1.25 speed, so everything was faster.
Oh, wow. So, I guess the way to watch Robot Wars is 1.5 speed, so it's a lot faster.
Not really, because I missed half the Plunderbird jokes.
Ah. Well, this is the only episode that I have notes for, because I was also up to the phone 4 in the morning last night taking notes, and all the men decided to just fuck off of my laptop. So, this is the only episode where I actually have notes for. Could you actually tell?
I couldn't. So, we'll jump straight into the first match.
From Huddersfield, Banshee.
Which is an interesting idea. It's a full body spinner robot with a grotesque head. The idea being that's how they can tell which way is forward. It's a good idea. Maybe not the best executed.
Yes.
Looks wonderful, though, I think.
It looks incredible. Like, absolute 10 out of 10 for design.
Yes.
In terms of the look of the robot.
Absolutely.
From Essex, seated number 10, Spawn of Scutter.
Which looks fabulous. So it is a blue pushing robot with wedged front and back and a horn, basically. A horn pneumatic spike.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like this robot.
Yep. No.
Fantastic. I think it's the best looking one of the robots that Spawn make. And the Spawn team has made some good looking robots.
Yeah, I mean, Spawn of Scar is a pretty badass looking robot.
Yeah.
But, wait, did I say that right?
Mm.
Scar's Revenge, sorry.
Scar's Revenge. Yeah.
That's what I meant, yeah. But Spawn of Scar, you know, is an incredible looking robot.
And finally,
from Leicestershire. Nightmare.
Is that like Nightmare?
There?
Is that like Nightmare? Knifemare.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck it.
It's what it works, actually. I have to say, right, this robot looks like it should be generic crap kids first bot.
Yes.
It doesn't perform like it.
No.
And it's one of the teams that's going to be a regular appearing robot. And I love this team. Just any time they have a robot that shows up, I like it.
Are they the team that becomes Raging Reality?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So they do Nightmare, Raging Reality, and Raging Nightmare. So, yeah, this team, as I said, it looks like it's, as I said, generic kids bot, and the flippers are a bit naff.
Yeah, this looks like a season 2 bot.
But unlike Little Fly, it doesn't perform like one, as I said.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And so this battle lasts maybe 30 seconds, not even that. Spawn of Scutter is going for Banshee, gets Banshee onto its spike, and sends it flying. And you almost see the moment of Shunt going, Cannon, please.
Face. I want his face.
I want the head. Yeah. Lines it up perfectly.
Bam. Give me head.
And not only that, so he pulls the head off.
Wait. There's a very clear wrestling reference here.
I know.
Shunt asks, what does everybody want? Head!
And it's not that. It's like, you know how we said these house robots were personality? It's like a dog with its new chew toy.
Uh-huh.
I have a toy. I'm going to burn my toy.
So he yanks it off of Banshee, immediately, then drops it on the flame grill. So
it
burns a little bit.
Around on top of it is wonderful. Yeah.
No, he carries it about, puts it on the flame grill, then he carries it, then he, attacks it again and carries it again while it's on fire. He's like, ah, I burned my toy. Yes! He's essentially Shunt is sent from Toy Story.
It's a shame. I think what they should have done is they should have asked the Banshee guys, can we tie it to the front? Put it behind Shunt's front scoop, so there's just this disembodied holy head.
Yeah, how Sakala always wears, weird bits of people that he's beat up. You should have the disembodied head of Banshee. just stuck at the front of Shunt.
Yeah. Whilst that's happening, Nightmare and Spore Scutter fight, and Nightmare makes a good account of itself.
Yeah, the two of them actually do pretty well together. Nightmare, doesn't do too badly. Yeah, the only note that I had from this match was Banshee swore that a week in jail.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't slow when it got yeeted.
And yeah, that's probably the fastest that Banshee's ever moved.
Yeah.
And then the only other notes I have are Shunt attacking Banshee. So, in the next match, from the Isle of Wight, Fersen Getorix.
Which is a... It's basically, if you can imagine Mortis done on a bit of a lower budget, is pretty much how I would describe it.
From Alton in Hampshire, seating number 26, Plunderbird 4.
Now in bright yellow with a Slicer Dicer.
Ah, the Slicer Dicer.
Which is a crushing jaw?
Question mark?
Yeah.
And then there's a good bit backstage where Juliet interviews the two of them and goes,
oh.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one of yours is legally blind. And he goes, my driver's not that bad. And then the other guy goes, no, I think she's talking about me. And then she kind of wanders off, and then he goes, so what did you look like? And then the other dude's like, ah, not bad.
I do think there is this thing, though, with the team is they seem to have absolutely, there seems to be this idea almost of kind of, they sat down and went, right, there's a new pit reporter. We are going to break her.
We are going to mess with her or something.
They, every time they're trying to make a corpse. Like, they are just doing so many jokes. There's one that comes up later which is, we hear the other teams are using tactics. And we hate those little mint things.
There you go.
And that's the sound they do. They break Julia.
Yeah, like she kind of runs away off camera before.
Yeah.
Before she can, like, break on camera.
But it is a pair of guys just going, screw it, let's have fun with this.
Which has always been. So, I don't know, man. I can't ever doubt them. Like, they're just so fucking awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and from Leighton Buzzard, Bedfordshire, Fat Boy 10.
Well, it's got some good pushing power.
Does it?
It costs less than Chaos 2.
It shows.
So this is a 1.2 meter tall robot. Its weapons are spikes that are too high to hit anything that's not its own height.
They're pointing down for a start.
It's bright silver with a smiley face, and it's like someone's got like a toy robot, like the generic toy robot you've seen, and has scaled it up and put wheels on it.
This reminds me of Rem Rambot from the season 2 exhibition match.
Yes. And to be fair, it does push Fersen Getorix and Plunderbird at some points in this fight.
Well, before we get into the actual match, let's talk about how Plunderbird made their entrance for this year.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Tis.
Plunderbird arrived on a Plunderbird.
A chopper.
Get to the chopper.
There we go. I was wondering which one of us was going to do that.
So, yeah, they enter on a helicopter, and it's not just
a helicopter, but it is actually like a pure military grade, like, style, like, chopper. Like, it's a big boy that has a hatch at the back, and then, like, Plunderbird 4 drives out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fucking awesome. So needless to say, 5x10 didn't last very long. I honestly don't know what you were expecting with a robot that was that much in size.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's not... It's good fun.
It's good fun.
I mean, you can get... You definitely get the impression Vercingetorix is the only one that's taking this match seriously. Because they are... I mean, I know I kind of said it jokingly, but it is, it's Mortis without a £40,000 budget.
Yes.
And it performs like Mortis. I mean, it is that level of performance.
Without a £40,000.
And I mean, it does then flip over Plunderbird afterwards.
It does, yeah. It flips him over, and then the best. Ow! Bit my tongue. Bit my tongue. I got too excited. It it get well. I got too excited. Vercingetorix also got too excited because it continued to attack Fatboy 10 while it was on the. So Vercingetorix flips over Fatboy 10, if we haven't already mentioned. Then it gets put on the arena flipper. So then Vercingetorix continues to attack it as it was on the flipper. So
yes!
It launches his axe in, and then the flipper goes, and Vercingetorix also goes over.
Yes! So I think all three robots end the match. What? Well, I actually wonder if this was a deliberate tactic.
Go on.
Because, well, how else do you test in fighting conditions that your Shreemech works?
Interesting. Yeah, because I mean, they flipped over Thunderbird after the fact. That Plunderbird would clear through. But then, like, Jonathan Pierce was like, oh, man, remember that for future battles? Remember that for future battles? Like, Plunderbird can be flipped.
Except and then you could tell that by looking
black
at
Shreemech?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, like, you do see in the background Vercingetorix was kind of using his flipper to get back over. So, fair dues to it. Like,
Alison, I actually wonder if it was a deliberate, right, we need to test this in a battle environment.
So why don't we give it a go just now?
Sorry?
So why don't we give it a go just now?
Exactly. Like, with no pressure.
Yeah.
So
well done for Vercingetorix for winning a fight, which is
absolutely
no offense to the team. But one of the very few that they will ever get in Robot Wars. You know what? Like, not gonna lie, I fucking love the Vercingetorix team. Just for, they're one of those teams that just like don't really care, and they're just like we're just here to have a bit of fun. Our robot's half decent, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hi guys, Alan
and Chris
here with a slight break from the main show. So thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
It's quite telling that in many ways this is the finest hour of Series 4 for Deator.
That rhyme.
Who are joined by a new team member.
Yeah.
Who looks a bit familiar. I wonder who his father is.
What's the lad's name?
The lad's name is Mr. Charles. I don't know his first name.
I think it was like Jake or something.
Yeah.
Jake, James, something.
Yes.
I wonder if he was actually on the team. I assume he probably wasn't, but just kind of wanted to do a little something.
Oh, fair play to him.
Absolutely. So, Dieter is taking on the pinball. And you know what? He doesn't actually do too badly.
No, it doesn't.
He has a big clump of his fur on the end of his flipper weapon.
Yes.
And then goes straight for second match, just like, light me on fire, I dare you.
He's like, do it!
Do it.
And it does, it goes round, it manages to get to the target. It gets stuck on the door in terms of, it goes through the door, and then it goes back through it. I would have thought that counted twice.
He gets stuck on the body ball as well.
Yeah.
Which is annoying that that really took up a lot of its time. And then, like, kind of, as I say, like, when people go through the door, they kind of get stuck in that corner.
Aye.
So, like, it's that whole kind of thing where you need to kind of bump the door, maybe in reverse, so that you can come back through it, which obviously Dieter didn't do, and then, like, that was the kind of thing that kind of stopped their run there. So it's always that kind of thing. Like, I think, like, if you come to the car door, you need to back into it so that when it flips over, you can drive back out. It's always something that I've been watching throughout this to see who kind of does it, because there's only a narrow sort of, like, area that you can kind of get out of. And especially since this, like, the other side of the arena as well, is quite hard to get out of.
Yeah.
But Dieter gets 180 points from the pinball. So, you know what? He ends up joint third at this point. So it's not a bad run. Not a bad run at all.
We get on to the first of the semi-finals.
We do indeed. As Spawn of Scutter takes on versus Getrex.
Yep. It's a shame in a way that this... Because it always had to turn out this way because of the fact there was two seeded robots. It's a slight shame that these two didn't get to meet in the final.
First and Garrix wasn't seeded.
Yeah, but Plunderbird was.
Oh.
Like, it would have been interesting to see Nightmare versus Vercingetorix and Squad. Well, you can tell they were obviously trying to set up for Spawn of Scutter versus Plunderbird in the final.
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
Spawn of Scutter have really gimmicked up stuff.
Yeah, they really have.
And, it's...
But obviously, that was also the kind of implication of the whole setup was the seeds won't meet until the final, if they can make it.
Yeah. But they almost did. You almost wonder if the seedings were deliberately done in such a way to ensure that these two took on each other.
Yeah. Didn't they eventually have a match in, like, Extreme or something?
I think so. What ends up happening is Vercingetorix versus Spawn of Scutter. There is this awesome moment of Spawn of Scutter gets nailed by the axe. And there is this moment of sort of, oh, I've got you. Oh, shit. As Spawn of Scutter goes, come on then. We're going to this wall, and then we're going to this wall, and then you're going to Sakillot, and then you're going to this house. And it is, it's Spawn of Scutter going, let's take you forward all around the track.
Oh, I see you've axed me. Now all of a sudden, shove.
And there is this moment of, you get, and The only other robot I've really seen this do this properly is Tornado. Is the robot is on the side of the wall and you just see Spawn of Saturn go back and charge.
And charge.
Back and charge.
And then even like it's like he's really like sticking that weapon in as much as he can, but like again, this is the kind of thing where it doesn't seem to do much. We'll get to that after the match, but like he's like that like little spike weapon is like ja ja ja, but like it's the whole point of Spawn has the absolute power. Like he is the robot has so much power and is just shoving Vercingetorix everywhere, and then Vercingetorix kind of like cops out not long into the match. And then the house robots take over. And at the end of the match, Julia is with Team Vercingetorix backstage. And then they're kind of like, oh, yes. So what's the amount of damage that Spawn of Saturn done? And they're like, that. And they're like, okay, so two holes. And then she's like, okay, well, what about the rest of the damage? And then they were like, that was their kill a lot. That was John, dead metal.
Now, here's something incredible. Spawn of Scutter wasn't originally a seed in the championship.
Interesting.
Some people speculate that its seeding, number 10, is actually the seeding that would have been given to Pitbull.
Interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, it's... Yeah, no.
I mean, obviously, Pitbull done pretty fucking well.
Oh, Pitbull was fabulous. I love Pitbull.
Yeah, you've gone again.
Yes.
But Spawn of Scutter was really fantastic as well. And you must have been able to tell the second you saw this robot.
Well, this is that kind of thing of, as you say, that, like... So, Pitbull was probably meant to be seeded in number 10 if it was going to be here. I can't help but feel as if in Season 4, Pitbull may have not done very well.
Depends on the level of upgrades, to be fair.
Depends, yeah. But I would imagine they're probably kind of the same.
Yeah. One thing that does happen is Vercingetorix loses a track and it gets conked out and finishes with the Cesarilot swing and the floor flip. You okay?
Cesaro. That is an epic swing.
Yes.
They're killing a lot still. 20 years in advance.
So, Spawn of Scutter comes out of this fight seemingly it completely, you know, dominated the fight, completely in control, and it has a major mechanical issue.
Yeah, and then Julia's like, oh, you may not make this final match, please. And then they're like, they're all kind of like, pure, like they have panic in the place, like, yeah. It turns out that like, there's a belt that's been broken, and we really need to look at this. And so they're all kind of like, without saying it, they're like, can you get out of our face so that we can work on this?
I mean, I get the impression it's not that this was a major repair, it's that it's a bit like, for instance, when a clutch goes in the car, it's not actually that it's necessarily the job itself, it's big, it's that you have to dig everything out to get to it.
Yeah, it's not like we've ever had a clutch problem before.
You haven't.
I was there for it.
I know. Anyway, so we get on to Nightmare versus Plunderbird 4.
We shall.
And now, one of the weird comments that Jonathan Pierce makes...
Uh-huh.
Is, oh, this robot's similar to Roadblock.
Yeah, Julia mentioned that other...
It's made from road signs and it's wedge-shaped, but other than that...
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing like Roadblock.
Absolutely not. But,
Plunderbird starts the match spinning, and then continues the match by constantly spinning.
And getting stuck on top of Nightmare... Which Nightmare and Refbot comes and separates them, And then Nightmare gets plundered over, and that's the end of that. It's a very... It's a season 2 style fight, almost. Like, yeah. If you saw a picture of this, and you were told it was season 2, the only thing you'd go is, wow, Plunderbird looks good.
Yeah. It was pretty clear throughout the entire match that one half of Plunderbird was not working. Like, it just, from the start, it just spun around. It was not working on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then part of that was because it got caught and it just got devoured by the Hedge Robots afterwards. Mm-hmm. This was not, like, much of a fight.
Hey guys, Alan here. I'm just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go onto to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers, Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. Speaking of not much of a fight, the final.
Yes.
So this is horrible because it's, you see the moment it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Because the two robots, they charge in at each other, and it is. It's like, oh, this is going to be actually a properly decent match because this is two well-driven robots. And then the first collision, you just see that kind of, okay, Nightmare's dead.
The light just got out of the eyes of Nightmare.
Yeah.
It is actually pretty, like, upsetting. Like, just kind of like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's just actually it. Like, the two of them collide, and Nightmare just conks out right then and there. And then even if it didn't, and it still had some power there,
Spawn
fed it to Shunt. Yeah. It's Spawn fed it to Shunt. Shunt swings the axe, actually hits Spawn.
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh, okay, Nightmare, give me this. Then that's a decent robot food.
Yep.
And it just died.
It just died. And I mean, it's one of those things where, one, it's a shame. Now, I can't remember, is it this episode? It might have been the episode the week before. Is it this episode or last week that Craig Charles ends up hugging one of the kids?
Well, I'm pretty sure last week he just kind of, like, tussled the hair of the kid, just like, ack, it's all right.
But whatever kid it was, there was a kid that was upset, and good guy Craig Charles.
Because I'm pretty sure this was during the interview afterwards where Craig Charles went up to Spawn the Scutters and goes, you know, in a previous life I was quite fond of Scutters.
Yes.
Get it.
Yep.
Red Dwarf reference.
I understood that reference.
Yeah, I didn't.
What I love is that I actually did the gesture there. I was like, no one can see me do it.
Oh, believe me, I did that more than original occasion.
Yeah. So.
Except for, obviously, Turnbuckle Podcast, where I actually am on video.
Yep.
So, I kind of, overly animate.
Yeah. So, before we get to you plugging your podcast, here is the trivia.
Let's.
So, this is there's not much trivia, actually, this time. This heat was the first of two occasions in which Team Scutterbots and Team Nightmare would meet in the heat final, the second time being in Series 7.
Interesting.
I won't tell you how that match ends.
Yes. We'll tell you in a couple of years.
Yep. The heat marked the only time when all the robots in the battle were flipped by the floor flipper. In the second of the first round matches where Fatboy Tin was flipped, along with Ponderbud 4, which was partially over the flipper panel itself, and Vercingetorix. So not only did Fatboy Tin and Vercingetorix get flipped, Ponderbud got flipped too!
I didn't even notice that.
That's awesome!
That is actually quite awesome.
And the Plunderer team arrived in the studio for this heat in a Chinook helicopter.
There you go.
So.
Also, a little fun fact that I've realised is when Craig Charles interviews the Spawn Scutter team, the little Robot Wars logo thing is upside down.
That I didn't notice, but it was poor in the morning.
Mm.
So, best newcomer. Is it Fatboy Tin?
No.
Or Nightmare?
I guess that has to be Nightmare.
I know, but it's a close run thing. No, actually, no. I mean, credit to Fatboy Tin for getting there. Yeah, Nightmare, great little robot, great little team. Most improved. I don't know if there's not an argument to say Vercingetorix.
Yeah, I would kind of agree, to be honest.
In terms of, Spawn of Scutter is a step up, undoubtedly. But I mean, Vercingetorix. Didn't the first robot get beat by someone quite embarrassing?
It just done a pretty
oh,
much of
Terrapin,
a
Terrapin, that's who it got beat by.
Oh, okay, then definitely.
Oh, Terrapin was adorable.
Oh, little Terrapin.
Oh, I still imagine that Philippa took that robot home.
That would be incredible. Like, she just posted a photo. It's like, I own Terrapin.
And look, just look, a video of like Terrapin coming out of a dog kennel. Off a ramp. Anyway.
No. Like, it just like burst out of a box for Christmas.
So, I don't know that any robot overperforms or underperforms.
I mean, Nightmare has the argument for being like a new team. Like they done a lot to get to the event for their first sort of chance.
Yeah.
And I would argue that Plunderbird or underperformed. Because they made a kind of big deal about their Slasher Gasher.
Slicer Dicer.
That's what I said. Their Slasher Gasher. It didn't really ever do anything.
Okay. No, fair point. Well made.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But, yeah. Anyway, so that is the end of this week's episodes. So that's Heat L. Next up will be Heat M. And, well, even though it will be a few weeks before we record this, I can tell that that's going to be an emotional one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. So if you enjoyed this episode and you enjoy our dulcet tones, you can hear us on other podcasts, such as the DCAU podcast for myself.
Or the Turnfield podcast with me, The Grizz. Or, if you prefer a murderous aspect, you can listen to us on the A Happening In podcast, where we talk about Moidas and ghosts. And the turning, wait, that's the first one I said, Turnbuckle Arms, where we also talk about this, but more on the topical, so, array, once a month.
Well, thank you for listening to Rise of the Robots. We'll be back next week.
Stay foxy.